Good morning. Today's reading is Psalm 4, and I'm going to read it from the New Revised Standard Version. Psalm 4. To the leader, with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honour suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when there grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings from here in Holyhead. What I thought I'd do for this morning is to explore a psalm together with you. And I've gone with the psalm that was in the lectionary for this week, which is Psalm 4. So Psalm 4, one of the very first psalms, of course, and it's a psalm of David praying for help when people were giving him grief. It's a curious little psalm. There's lots of different bits in it. It's quite short, but it's not clear how all those different bits in there fit together. Of course, this is a Hebrew poem composed nearly 3,000 years ago. The flow of thought is quite hard to follow. There are many different interpretations of what the different bits mean. And when you start looking at it, it's good to look at several different translations because you find that they're all quite different. There are some quite significant differences. It's quite bewildering. So in the middle of the first verse, for instance, does it say, give me relief from my distress? Or is it, you gave me room when I was in distress? Is it a request or a statement? Or in verse 4, should it be tremble with fear and stop sinning? Or is it when you are disturbed in your anger, do not sin? Or again, verse 6, should it read, there are many who say, give us more blessings, O Lord? Or should we read, many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? And there are lots of different little awkward things in the translations like that, which can make it quite hard to read this. So if it's that awkward and difficult, then why should we bother with this psalm at all? And I want to say, above all, it's because of Jesus, of course. He's the reason that we meet, and he's the reason that we are interested in all of the Bible. When the risen Jesus explained to those disciples on the road to Emmaus about what had happened to him, he appealed to all of the scriptures to explain to them, beginning with the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And it's the Psalms. The Psalms were Jesus's prayer book, really. He prayed them often. He knew them well. And we pray them with him, looking to him and expecting to find him in there. We learn from him through reading and praying these psalms, and it's part of our discipleship. I think we're in deep trouble if we tend to stick only to those parts of the scripture that we understand or that make good sense to us or that have an obvious application. If we dig in, if we really dig in properly and start to really meditate on any part of the scripture, then there are there will be things that we can learn, and there'll be much there to enrich us in our faith. And that's what I found about the Bible anyway. I was very privileged, I think, because I studied some biblical studies when I was at university. I went to Durham. I took a class in the Old Testament with Professor Walter Moberly. And one thing he says is that we should look at the Bible not as a fortress to be defended, but as a mansion to be explored. Not as a fortress to be defended, but a mansion to be explored. There's all kinds of wonderful things that we can find when we start to explore in the scriptures. I love that. So let's explore this psalm together now. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. So I'm recording this, in case you were wondering, in a cupboard. It's tight, uncomfortable, confined. Where it says here, you gave me room when I was in distress, or you freed me from my troubles, that expression there in the Hebrew, it's a very common idea, very common image in biblical poetry of being brought out of a confined space and being given room. Or as it says in the Message translation, once in a tight place, you gave me room. We've all had to get used to confinement over the last year or so, of course. And sometimes God needs to bring us into a place of confinement so that he can teach us some things. I remember the one period of my life when I remember praying most regularly and faithfully of all was during that period when Bethan was a little girl, and she would not go to sleep unless someone was there in the room right next to her. And for months, we took it in shift, but for months I had to sit there in the dark for nearly half an hour or more until she went to sleep. Before trying to quietly make good my retreat without waking her up. But I remember I prayed during that time like I've never prayed before or since. I had time where I had very little else to do in that confined space. Sometimes God imposes these restrictions on us, but at the very heart of God's purposes, what God is really about is bringing us out of that confinement into a wider perspective. God is the one who gives us room when we are in distress. God's creation is immense, wide space. God brings us out into wide open spaces, out of our confinement, into freedom. And freedom, actually, it can be something that can be very hard to deal with. What do you do when you could do anything? Where do you go when you could go off in any direction? How do you learn to choose to do the right thing? But God is the one who can bring us out of our narrow views and perspectives and completely change our perception. Our perception of what's possible and what's there. God is the one who enlarges our horizons, gives us a new, bigger perspective, makes us part of a much bigger story. God gives us room. And what a difference it makes. And so because of the difference God makes and has made, this psalm opens in verse 1 with this very confident call for help to God. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. We know that God answers us when we cry out to him. That's what God does. God is good. So the first verse of the psalm is this confident cry to God for help. That's how it starts. But as we get to verse 2 and all of the verses in the middle, really, things start to get a little unclear, because this is where other people get involved. And other people, of course, can be a big problem. How long, you people, shall my honour suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? So there is persecution and character assassination going on here. People trying to drag him down. This is a Psalm of David, and it has a lot of connections with the previous Psalm, Psalm 3. And the situation may be similar, at least. In Psalm 3, we're told that the situation is that when David was fleeing from his son, Absalom, towards the end of his reign, this is, and David's honour and reputation were under severe attack because his son plots against him and spreads these lies. And certainly people are giving him grief somehow here. And of course, we can imagine Jesus too praying these words as we remember all the plots and opposition Jesus faced. And the sheer frustration with people who devote themselves and their attention to empty and pointless and meaningless things. How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? You don't have to go far to recognise that problem. Just a glance at the front covers on the magazine stands ought to do it. We see it all over social media. Character assassination, the vain words, the lies. So easy for us to get sucked in to all kinds of things that are not worthy of our attention. But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. So it's a little bit confusing what's going on here in the middle of the psalm. We seem to be switching voices from prophetic utterances addressed to people to this kind of proverb saying almost in verses 4 and 5. And are we addressing different people or the same people when we get to verse 4? Or what's going on? Try not to get too bogged down in all of that. All of this, I think it's important to remember, it's all still part of a prayer. There may be different people held in mind as we do in our prayers, but this is all part of a prayer in God's presence, lifting up people and situations to God, even if we do it in different ways. I think it would be a pretty terrible idea to actually go around addressing real people with words like those in verses 2 and 3, if we actually went up to real people and said, "How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." I don't think that would be very good at all. But as part of our praying for people to know the Lord, this makes good sense. Lots of the harsh-sounding words in the Psalms, I think, become a lot less of a problem if we remember that we're not talking to people, but pouring out our frustrations about people to God. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. We may feel all kinds of frustration and anger about people sometimes. But like Cain in Genesis chapter 4, we have a choice whether we're going to act on those feelings or not. If we can pour our feelings out to God, maybe pause and be silent on our beds. There is a better way. Offer right sacrifices. What might that mean for us? Maybe finding something better to devote ourselves to doing than that will make things better. Maybe focusing on Jesus and his sacrifice that enables us to make peace with others. And put your trust in the Lord. Verses 6 and 7. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when there grain and wine abound."
It's easy to pray for good stuff all the time, for blessings and prosperity, says the psalmist here. But he's calling us into a deeper and more enriching life of prayer, where we don't have to wait for all of our problems to go away before we can rejoice and be glad. There is deep peace, despite all the hardships and the anxieties in our lives. As Paul says in Romans, can any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? We live in anxious times, especially at the moment, as we have to get used to gradually having more freedom and trying to make plans. But we don't need to be anxious. These things that keep us up at night don't need to. This prayer is often called an evening prayer, and traditionally down the ages it's often been used as a prayer at the end of the day to pray before you go to sleep, knowing God's peace, knowing that God is the one who cares for you. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen.
So the way I would actually like to close the service is by saying a prayer for all of us together based on the words of Psalm 4. This is a kind of extended paraphrase of the psalm. Let's pray. God of our righteousness, hear us when we call. You have brought us out of confinement and despair into wide open spaces. So be good to us. Hear our prayer. We lift up to you people we know and see around us, Lord. People who make our lives more difficult. People who are obsessed with meaningless and empty things. People who believe all kinds of lies. You set us apart from having to live that kind of life. May they know something of that too, Lord. Teach all of us, Lord, when we are upset and angry, to avoid sin, to find that place of silence and stillness, and to avoid messing things up. We lift up all of our difficult relationships to you, Lord, and we ask you for help. We lift up all the brokenness in our society and ask you for grace and healing. We look to the cross and Jesus' right sacrifice, and we trust you to help us. It's easy to pray for the easy life and for happiness and material things. In you we have so much more, Lord Jesus. You give us the deepest joy and the deepest peace. Only you keep us safe. So despite everything, we choose to rest in you. Amen.